Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for January 16th, 2007, Episode 11. Welcome back, everybody, to the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Joe Bibby.
And my name is Ryan Necessary.
And in the show, we discuss various technology in the workplace, at home, some gadgets, and basically just where we think information technology and information culture is headed. But this week, we've had some trouble because it's cold.
Joe, I'm cold.
It's very cold.
I'm dying.
I think I've already started to adjust to being a Texan because back in Indiana, like, wind chill of -5 is pretty normal. But it's only like 32 degrees here.
And your blood's thinned out like us.
It's cold.
Yeah.
So let's go straight into On the Radar. We have several stories. We're going to finish up our CES and Macworld coverage later on in the show, but these are just some other things that were not covered in those areas. First thing is, some of you may remember Origami, a website pushed by Microsoft that ended up being a big bunch of nothing, where they were trying to show off their new, basically what has been around for a while, the ultra-mobile PC, the little handheld PC devices with touchscreens. And they did a couple things with a nice kind of corner keyboard, but they hadn't really shown much else. And this week, they, on the origamiproject.com website, which is kind of their focus for all this, they showed a new program launcher for the Vista version of the ultra-mobile PC interface. And I have to say, it looks pretty nice. You know, very touchscreen oriented. All the icons are large. Again, it has kind of that Mac feel. Some of the icons on the top and the clock and everything's kind of oriented a similar way. But I have to say, I think they did a good job with it.
Yeah, I looked at the screenshots. It looks pretty sweet.
You know, basic stuff. Good slideshow, but kind of reminded me of a larger version of the iPhone almost, just the way everything looked kind of big and rounded and very Web 2.0.
The whole handheld PC thing is kind of it's a very niche market.
Yeah, I don't really see it taking off. I mean, it's kind of like how nobody uses a PDA anymore because they don't want to carry lots of things. You know, maybe one specialized media device and then their phone.
Yeah, well, I think the video iPod and you know, the iPods that are around that size have sort of set a benchmark in people's heads that's as big as I want to be, and anything bigger than that just seems clunky.
And I think it's not necessarily how wide these devices are, the UMPCs, but they're just too thick.
Right.
They're like, you know, 2 inches thick, and that just looks funny. I mean, we thought the Zune looked big, but these, in comparison, are twice the thickness.
Yeah, the Vios, even the recent Vios,
seem
kind of thick to
me. I don't know. So the next one on the list is Apple-related. So there has been rumors flying all around that the newest Core 2 Duo Mac owners, the MacBook Pros and the plain old MacBooks, these are just the second-gen version of those, had built-in 802.11n, but the company did not advertise that. People just kind of discovered it on their own. So at Macworld, there was an announcement about the AirPort Extreme, which we covered last week, and that was 802.11n. And apparently, that comes with the ability to unlock the 802.11n in your laptop, but if you wanted to use, say, a router from Belkin, they're charging for it.
What?
$4.99 to download the 802.11n enabler patch.
Wait. $4.99?
Yes.
Okay.
Not $499.
All right.
So $5. Not terrible, but, you know, this seems kind of low. Excuse me. You know, I'm kind of surprised that they can't just give it away. I mean, it's such a small thing, and it's just enabling hardware that's already there. They're claiming that this comes from a law called, I'm not going to say this right, but Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
Oh, yeah. Sarbanes-Oxley.
Sarbanes-Oxley, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Supposedly prohibits them from giving away unadvertised new features. Now, software companies have been giving away new features all the time. Supposedly this is a hardware limitation, but it seems like a stretch to me. I think they're just afraid from doing anything shady in accounting. with all the backdated stocks and everything going on lately.
Yeah, I guess if I Wikipedia'd Sarbanes-Oxley, then suddenly this would make sense to me, but whatever.
Yeah, I just don't care. I mean, one way or the other, I think it's kind of a ripoff. Yeah. And, you know, just kind of makes them look a little bit more like Microsoft.
So if you get the AirPort Extreme, though, you're fine.
Yeah, but you have to pay. It's like $200.
Because you know up front you're buying 802.11n with the new AirPort Extreme.
I guess. It doesn't make sense. Because you're adding it to something you already own, so it is an unadvertised feature that they're adding. But maybe they can claim they built the $499 fee into that purchase.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a stretch. I agree. So, boo. Apple sucks. Lacy, which is a big storage company in the Mac world, but hasn't seemed to get much publicity on the PC side of things. So let me give a little background to this. I've been looking for a nice backup solution for home for about 6-7 months now.
Mm-hmm.
Thought about building my own from a PC, purchasing just a USB drive, purchasing a network drive. But what I wanted is something that was networkable, and I could plug in via USB or FireWire to give me that high-speed connection if I need it.
Right.
And there hasn't been anything out there. They all have USB, but it's only for adding shared drives. Mm-hmm. So Lacy this week announced what they're calling the Lacy Ethernet Disk Mini, and also the Lacy, I think it's Ethernet Big Disk. The Mini is a laptop-sized drive, has USB and network built in. And you can use USB for sharing extra drives, and you can plug it directly into your PC.
Is it gigabit? Do we know?
Gigabit.
Okay.
And here's the nice thing. This is what threw me over the edge. Windows, Mac, and Linux support. And it's not just a web interface support. It's actually software backup support.
That's pretty nice.
So pretty good deal. And so for the Mini, 500 gig, $299.99. And the bigger one that uses a standard hard drive size starts at a 650 gigabyte drive for $350.
So the Buffalo TerraStation at 1 terabyte,
right?
I think the last time I checked was $700.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ReadyNAS, do you remember what those were going for?
Those were over $1,000 for 2 terabytes.
For 2 terabytes. Okay. So comparatively, even though this isn't a RAID.
Right, yeah, this is single disk, and okay, you can get a terabyte size for $499.
That's still
single
good,
disk,
though.
But not shipping till February. So coming out soon, but looks to be amazing. I'm gonna hold off and see some reviews just to make sure it's gonna hold up. But Lacy in the past has been very good hardware. So.
Yeah.
That's it for me on the radar. You have anything you wanted to cover, Ron?
Yeah, there's some stuff out there. Okay, so the Pirate Bay, everybody's favorite BitTorrent tracker. These guys are now soliciting donations because they want to buy their own island.
Wait. An island?
Yeah.
They want to buy one.
Well, it's not really an island. It's called Sealand. And what it is, it's a gun turret platform built out of concrete. I think it was left over from World War II. So the thing's gutted and, you know, seagulls just sit on it all day or whatever. But apparently the Pirate Bay guys figured, well, if we buy this, then we'll be our own country.
Right.
And we won't have to be subject to anyone's laws. So whenever they have their torrent trackers and then they get the cease and desist letters from, you know, copyright lawyers or whatever, then they wouldn't have to worry about that anymore.
Nice.
So I think at last count they're up to $17,000 in donations. I don't know how much they're going to
have. That's enough.
I don't know how much they're going to have to have to buy this thing.
So not only if they get this will they have their own island, but they'll have the possibility that if they get invaded, they can just throw a turret on there because it's already ready to be loaded.
It's
right?
Ready to go.
Very nice.
They just need to find some old World War II surplus turrets.
Yeah, I guess that's the problem.
They could have their own air defense system. That'd be sweet. Let's see what else. Oh, so because of a careless programming error, somebody found some comments in some debug code for an old, I think it was an NT service pack.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears that every single copy of Microsoft Windows ever sold, going all the way back to Windows 95 OS R2, has a backdoor for the NSA. Yes. So it looks like it's in the Windows System 32 directory. There's an API DLL that handles encryption. And so there's some nice little stuff bundled in that. And so they found several little keys within a few DLLs, and it appears that this makes it pretty easy for the NSA, the United States National Security Agency, to not only execute code on your machine, but also get into machines. And, I mean, I guess we sort of expect it here now, because right. that's our culture, is the whole, like, we're watching you, Big Brother. But this really has implications for foreign governments
right.
who buy copies of Microsoft Windows.
That must be how they got into that antitrust suit.
Yeah, could be.
We're like, I don't know. Remember that thing we did for you back in Windows 95?
Right, so let us off
It's still there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's huge.
So I think Linux overseas is going to become a major player.
Yes,
Ubuntu. Wow. So I don't know. That's
pretty wild.
We'll keep an eye on that and see what develops. What else? Oh, it looks like the email for Windows Vista is going to be less awesome than it is right now. It looks like, in order to try to provide greater security and stability, that Microsoft is dumbing down their email client. So, you know, the whole thing where you could put an HTML stuff in your email.
Yeah, HTML email.
And you could have a picture as your background of your email, and pretty much all the things in email that I hate, mm-hmm. well, those are being left out.
Wow.
So Microsoft is taking a step back and, you know, taking their email in, I guess, what I would call a more serious, more secure direction. But it's almost at odds with their whole new Vista. Look how beautiful it is, the arrow interface.
So. Well, and I would think marketing companies are going to hate this. Because they've put a lot of money into sending out these HTML emails so that you can, you know...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody does it. Every company you sign up for a newsletter now, it's an HTML email.
Right. And I mean, I don't like it, but I can tell my client... I use Thunderbird, so...
Right.
I can tell my client, don't display images. Don't do all this stuff. But I can remember getting some emails that were more beautiful than the most beautiful website I've ever... you know, browsed in my browser. So it looks like that's maybe going away, at least from the Microsoft side.
So are they using Word as their backend now instead of IE?
That looks to be the case.
So IE security so much better than IE6. Apparently they don't trust themselves even.
Well, okay, so in the past you had this whole thing where the browser had so many hooks into the OS
right.
that if your browser gets pwned, then your OS is pwned,
right.
you know, from a website. So I guess now they're trying to, they're thinking about that, and they're trying to, I guess, partition off the operating system, the browser, and the email, so that they run more independently of each other.
Somebody should tell them they could just use the Firefox backend.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's already sandboxed.
It is. But I don't know. So I guess kudos to Microsoft for, you know, crapping down your email so that we don't get exploited. When I'm sitting at my desk, talk to me all you want. I don't care. But when I'm walking down the hall, or if I'm walking through your lab, or if I'm walking past your cubicle, don't stop me to tell me that you need me to do something. Send me an email. Call me on the telephone. All of these are acceptable forms of communication. But when I'm patrolling the building, trying to get something done, I'm not inviting you to stop me and task me with your stupid junk. I have a lot to do. Security, websites, videos, keeping the network alive, updating software, migrating servers, making sure everything is running nominally, you know? What I don't need is everyone I see to look up and recognize me and go, "Hey, there's a guy I can tell what to do. Hey, I just thought of something that you could do for me. Could you, maybe update my monkey screensaver software? It seems to be having a problem. Or you know what? My browser's been kind of flaky for about 5 months now. Could you take a look at that?" "Well, if it's been a problem for 5 months, Johnny, how come I'm just now hearing about it? Obviously, it wasn't that big of a deal. If you need something, email me so that I don't forget. Otherwise, just leave me alone, because I'm probably already busy."
So we wanted to come back and finish up our coverage of Macworld and CES. This was the last few days of CES and Macworld. So I wanted to briefly touch on a few things from last week. Everybody's still talking about the iPhone. In fact, people have said that the iPhone was even the biggest announcement at CES, which it wasn't at. Some negatives that have come out this week. We had talked about last week that, you know, Firefox would be on the iPhone within 6 months. Well, that's not going to happen because apparently all software on the iPhone must be approved by Apple beforehand. So apparently they're taking the iPod approach to this phone, which has full version of OS X, supposedly. Well, probably not. But that's a big disappointment for me. I really saw this as becoming an amazing device, and if they limit what can be on there, then yes, it will be still good, but I think it's definitely not worth the price for me anymore. The other thing, I also mentioned that I thought it was an Intel processor. This is not the case, which also lends itself to possibly not being a full version of OS X, considering everything's been migrated to Intel. I mean, sure, they can port it to another processor, but chances are pretty good this is a very slimmed down, hacked up version of OS X, which means your software is not going to easily move between the two.
I think it is. I think it is a slimmed down version.
Yeah. The rumor I heard is that it takes up about 500 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, that is shared. So you have a 4 gig iPhone, 500 megabytes is already used up.
No.
So it's actually a 3.5 gig iPhone. So a few big disappointments there. Still an amazing device, still an amazing user interface, but I just don't know if it's worth it. We'll have to just wait and see like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
A few other things from Macworld. We never saw anything about OS X. Nothing about iLife 07 and nothing about iWork 07. Now, a lot of people think that this is going to be covered in a later special event, but I have to say I was pretty disappointed. I mean, this was Macworld, and all we saw was the iPhone and the iPod accessories.
Mm-hmm. And the iPhone's not even going to be ready until June.
And the Apple TV. I mean, yeah, and so where's the Mac stuff? This is Macworld, but I guess that's kind of where it's been heading, you know. iPod accessories have kind of taken over Macworld, and they do special events for all the other big announcements.
You know, CES was kind of guilty of that this year too.
Were they?
Because it's almost like, you know, half of what was covered was not what's ready, but look what we're working on.
Right.
Well, so what? I'm working on losing 30 pounds, but I'm not making any progress.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Macworld for me, you know, yes, iPhone was awesome, but it's like it was the iPhone Expo. So you have anything else from CES for us, Ryan?
So, yeah, CES, it was just, I don't know, totally stupid this year. I mean, it's something like 30 football fields and, you know, 1,700 exhibitors.
Right.
And just a totally insane amount of just junk there. It looks like just some stuff that I noticed towards the end of the week that popped up on the radar was SanDisk is working on a 32 gigabyte solid state disk, which is like a 32 gig flash drive. So
that's awesome.
And it wasn't a stick, it was more of a little flat thing.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's going to be the final format, but it is almost ready for prime time.
I mean, that's OS installable ready. I mean, that's mm-hmm. with room left over for
right.
data and everything else.
So I mean, I could see some awesome Linux
wow.
stuff happening on that.
Oh, yeah.
So Microsoft debuted their Reclusa keyboard, gaming keyboard for $80. It's black and it's backlit underneath the keys with this blue LED light, and you can program the keys. It's kind of a gaming keyboard. Is it worth $80? I don't know. Let's
you
see.
You know, though, Microsoft always surprises me in the hardware department. I mean, their keyboards and mice kind of took over Logitech's market share. Logitech mm-hmm. was the king forever. And now, I mean, even on my Mac, I'm using a Microsoft mouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I started buying the Comfort Curve keyboards,
yeah,
you know, which
nice.
Have just a slight curve to them. They're comfortable, mm-hmm. but it's not the whole split keyboard thing, which I think are the work of the devil. I mean, the only thing that you could partner with that would be a freaking, what do you call it, the trackball?
The trackball.
And then let's just go ahead and make it a left-handed trackball, you know, just because we really hate ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Microsoft Comfort Curve, I think, is a great keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I use them at work and home. I'm pretty pleased with those. And then the Microsoft mice, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, some Uber you know, gamer probably disagrees, but just for the price and for what I want it to feel like at work and home, then I really like them. They're doing pretty good.
I mean, they're weighted well, and you know, I feel like it tracks well on most surfaces, and I don't know, I like them better.
Mm-hmm. They should just stick to hardware.
They should. It's like Apple and Microsoft.
They should switch roles.
Yes.
Because I love Apple software, and I like Microsoft hardware.
Although I do like Apple's Macs and their notebooks and their desktops.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, and their iPods and other things.
All right. That's enough of that. What else do we have? Samsung also has a 50-inch HD TV that's wall-mountable. The nice thing about it is supposedly wireless.
Wow.
So you just power it, and then all of the cords and everything don't, you know, hang down underneath the TV. So it gets its signal, you know, from a little receiver down at the bottom. So we'll see if that becomes the new trend.
So it can finally look like it does in the commercials, where it's hanging on the wall with no cables hanging down.
Well, you know, if you just, you know, knock a hole in your wall and run all the cables back there, then, you know, you could have it look like that too.
Nice.
But, the other cool thing I saw, which I'm not sure if it was worth it, $2,500, a small projector that's like a foot tall, exact replica of R2-D2.
Wow.
And it's a projector. So it projects up to 80 inches. It does 800 by 600. It has slots for a DVD. You can see, you can just slide a DVD into it. It takes, it has an iPod dock built in.
Wow.
It has a remote control that's shaped like the Millennium Falcon.
Talking about over the top.
It's
way
awesome. Over the top.
That's awesome.
I mean, do you want this out in your living room at all times? I guess if you're an Uber geek, the answer is yes. You know. But it would be great for a kid's room if it wasn't $2,500.
Right.
So I don't know about that.
That's a bit much.
But that was funny. That was one of the things that all the major news outlets that were there kept covering, that because that was like one of the favorites of the show.
Site of the week. For our site of the week, we have Daily Cup of Tech. Been there, done tech. So, terrible name, but very nice website. You know, that looks like it's running a WordPress engine underneath it. But the nice thing is they cover a lot of things that I care about that are just kind of daily problems. For example, how to deal with the dig effect on your WordPress blog.
Ooh.
Plugins to disable and other enhancements, you know, like the caching plugin and some other things. So let's see, what else do they have on here? They're covering the FreeNAS project. They're covering, you know, how to know when you've been hit by the dig effect. They have the coolest thing that I think I saw was the...
Okay, this is how I know if I've been hit by the dig effect. My site is down.
Denial of service. Okay, yeah. True. So the thing that kind of drew me to the site in the first place was the PC repair system. What this is a download of 50 or so utilities that you can throw onto your thumb drive. And they're all little PC repair utilities. So, you know, just a nice site covering things I care about, and it's concise. You know, I just really recommend it. I subscribed to it basically after seeing the top three stories, and I think it will be something I will love in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good companion site to stuff like Lifehacker and some stuff like that. So I'll probably I got it bookmarked now. It looks like a lot of the stuff like we've been covering.
Yeah.
Gadgets, now software tools, freeware, stuff like that. So it looks
and
pretty.
Other thing too is, it seems like it's stuff I don't see anywhere else, which is more and more rare because it seems like everybody's just regurgitating /dot and dig anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, wherever he's getting his data from, it seems to be all fresh. You know, it's not from Engadget. It's not from dig. You know, it's not from the famous ones.
Right. So it's not just recanned stuff off the other sites. That's cool.
So go check it out. Well, that's going to about wrap it up for this week on Angry Admins. A couple of announcements before we go. We have a new forum section on the site. Finally got this rolled out, and we are going to start having everyone direct their comments towards this, and we are no longer going to use the commenting system based on each post. We think this will be much easier for people to have back and forth commenting, and it'll let us interact with the users and the listeners, and just really make it easier all around. So we're looking to hopefully help that give back to the users a little bit. The other thing we have is, you've seen it, you've loved it, the Angry Admins logo. Now you can wear it. Angry Admins gear. Right on our website, we've got a little sticky note linking to Angry Admins gear, going to a Cafe Press setup we've got there. And these things are priced not to make us money, but just to help get the word out. Not really any markup on these, any of these items. And so go buy them, give them to your friends, sell them, wear them, send us photos of you wearing them. And if you do want to do that, send those to feedback@angryadmins.com. And please go and comment on the forums and everywhere else so that we can hear what you guys like and what you don't like. I want to thank everyone for listening. This is Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
Stay angry.